So joining us today on the reverse stick is Taf Ahmed from the UK and from the hockey family. We're not quite sure where the interview is going to go because there's so much to talk to Taf about. We've got in touch with regard to the volunteer program for the upcoming Hockey World Cup in London. So, look, welcome to the show, Taf.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be on here.
It's great to have you on board, and it's great to have somebody who's got such a love for the game having a chat with us. I guess a good way to start off is, can you tell us about your hockey history? What got you into the game, and where you're at today?
Oh, right, okay. I'm a hockey coach. I've been doing that for about 25 years plus now. And been coaching, you know, juniors and adults alike. And I currently coach Division One team in the northwest of England. My hockey volunteering started about 10 years ago when England Hockey basically got their first major event, which was the European Hockey in 2007, and I've been volunteering ever since.
Taf, is volunteering the best way to get a really good seat at the house? I mean, you must have seen some really good hockey in that time as a volunteer.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's not all fun and games, but yeah, definitely. You can, you know, there is time to actually watch some really good, you know, international games when we host, you know, any international games like the World Cup next year, and also the Europeans that we hosted a couple of years ago, and also we hosted the Hockey World League semi-finals this year in the summer. And yeah, there was some very good hockey on show, and a lot of volunteers did get a chance to actually watch it, because it's not all about you know, just volunteering. There are places where volunteers could sit down and watch the game as well. So, you know, it's not all work. You know, we do get to watch a little bit of hockey as well, if we're looking at this.
So it's not all work, but when it is work, what sort of things do the volunteers get involved with, and you know, what's the setup for a big tournament?
Oh, well, God, a lot of different things that you can actually work or volunteer for at an England Hockey event. I basically personally run the team liaison officers who look after international teams and the team that looks after the international teams. You have like athlete services who basically help out with changing room, you know, setting the changing rooms up. You have spectator services who look after the general public and make sure that they get to their seats okay, and any questions that they have, hopefully they'll be able to answer it. You've also got hosting services where basically you've got people who pay for the privilege of being a VIP maybe, and that team basically looks after those VIPs. You've got sports presentation, which is virtually like what we're actually doing right now, not very much like a podcast, but you know, giving information to the general public and also doing halftime, you know, game events with the public as well on the pitch. You've got operational services, which looks after the whole event sort of thing, and also hockey maker services, which is basically people who look after the hockey makers, because they obviously need looking after as well.
So, geez, that's a lot of departments to cover there. For something like the Hockey World Cup coming up in London, how many hockey makers, volunteers?
Oh, wow. I think hockey, England Hockey needs around about 750 volunteers to basically deliver a really good, you know, event. To cover all the areas. I mean, that was only the few areas that I mentioned before. You've also got media services and logistics as well and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot. There's, you know, about seven or eight different areas that we need to cover as England Hockey. And about 750, maybe even more than that. That's the kind of figure that we're looking for. It's quite a big event.
Is there a particularly plum job that, you know, obviously people will put their hand up to volunteer, but you're not going to know necessarily straight away what area you're going to be helping out on? Is there something, or is there a job there that people go, oh, yes, I've got the spectator's job for this tournament, whatever it might be? Is there anything? Is there any one thing better than something else?
I personally, I don't think so. Myself, being a team liaison officer, I think that's probably one of the better jobs because it's more interactive with the players and the athletes that actually turn up and the teams that turn up. If people are interested in being quite close to the athletes, then maybe that's a job that they might like to do. Athletes and official services. Some people might be interested in doing media stuff, which is basically looking after the social media side of stuff for England hockey whilst the event is on. And there's also the media things that are happening within the tournament with regards to interviews and things like that. Other people might be interested in logistics. Spectator service is pretty good as well because you get to see a lot of the game action, really, whilst you're helping, obviously, the general public as well. So, I mean, it's whatever anyone's interested in. If they want to try something different, you know, from their day job, you know, they can do that. Or if they want to stick to what they know and help out and basically volunteer for a certain area, they can actually do that
Taff,
as well.
Where do you draw your volunteers from? Do you get many non-hockey people volunteering?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Over the last few years, and even beyond, I think, we've had, you know, an influx of people that are not just hockey volunteers or hockey people. They could be just volunteers. They just love volunteering at events because they've got, you know, their time or spare time that they can give up for certain sports. So, we get people from athletics, people who volunteer in athletics and want to volunteer for a hockey position. We also get people from who have actually volunteered at London 2012 or the Glasgow Games the year after and also other events, let's say, from people that have volunteered in the Netherlands for hockey might want to come over to England and volunteer here as well. So we get a very, very big spectrum of people, not just hockey enthusiasts, really, which is good because it gives us a bit of a broad spectrum of people that come and volunteer.
Now, Taff, as a former coach, do you ever get to turn any of them? Do you ever get to bring them around to our side?
Still a current coach.
Yes. You know, do any of them end up picking up a stick?
I go around encouraging people. I think other people do as well. One of my roles as an England hockey volunteer is that I'm actually an England hockey event assistant as well, which goes with regards to planning or helping or even being involved in the planning stages of the event. So, you know, I try to encourage people to take up a hockey stick. You know, we've got a program here in England called Back to Hockey, and it's for people who've played hockey before, maybe in school, liked it a little bit but didn't actually carry on and they want to maybe try again, and also for people who are very new to the game as well, which is, you know, anyone can start. I mean, I last event, which was the Hockey World League, I had my uniform on going to an event or going to the event to do my shift, and somebody just approached me at the train station and said, oh, where's the hockey going on? And I went, well, it's at the Olympic Park, you know, at Lee Valley. And he went, oh, okay, I used to play hockey a long time ago. And this was a 50-year-old man. And he said, oh, I don't play anymore because I'm too old. I goes, look, how old are you? Yeah, well, if you don't mind me asking. So he told me. So I said, oh, I'm 50-odd. And I went, well, you know what? There's people out there that are 60, 70 who are still playing. And other people have actually just come back to playing, so why not pick up a stick again? And, you know, if you've loved it so much and you played with you know, other people, why not
I'd say 50 years old, you've got another 30 years of hockey ahead of you.
Well, I'm 50 and I say I've got another 30 years ahead of me.
Look, I've looked on at the Back to Hockey program over the past couple of years in the UK and have loved what's happening with it. There's a lot of stuff happening at the moment with clubs through social media trying to get people on board, and it's something that I want to replicate for next season with our club down here in Australia. It seems to be an absolute no-brainer, and it's a lot of people we lose at that sort of 19, 20, 21 from the game, and they go off and have a career and have kids and all that sort of thing, and then we've got a bit of spare time on a Saturday afternoon. What can I do? I need to do some fitness. And they look back to, well, I enjoyed hockey when I played. It just seems an absolute no-brainer. Come along, grab a stick and get involved.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, most of these clubs actually ask people to come over and play for them. Even if they don't have any equipment, you know, they're willing to you know, loan out a shin guard or even a hockey stick or whatever. You know, at my club, we've done exactly the same thing. You know, people have contacted us and said, you know, I want to come back and play hockey. Where, you know, what can I do? I don't have the equipment. I don't have a stick. And we've just said, look, just come aboard. You know, somebody at the club will, or at the training session, will loan you a stick. Just come on and see if you like it. And if you like it, then, you know, you can go out and buy a stick if you want to.
So what's the kind of conversion rate, do you think, from people that come along and get involved with Back to Hockey who actually end up playing in a regular season for one of your sides?
Oh, right, OK. Well, I think everyone that's turned up to do Back to Hockey stuff at my club has actually started playing competitively or even just as in friendly games, especially for the first season, and then carried on playing and competitively. We had a young, well, I say young lady, but, you know, a lady.
Be polite.
Yeah, came back to hockey after, I think, 20-odd years. She had not played hockey for 20-odd years. And she came back, she enjoyed it, and hopefully, well, she did say she was going to come back next week, so I'm hoping that she will do.
I'll probably cut this out of the interview, but as a sideline, the team I play in started 5 years ago, and I've played hockey for a long time, but of that team, there was five or six guys that had never played before, and we've just gone back-to-back premiership winners with a team that essentially half of them had never played the game before they picked up a stick with us.
Well, you picked up a stick in their 40s.
Yeah, in their 40s too, yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really good. People, I personally think, you know, older people tend to, you know, get into it and get the skill level going pretty quickly, if you know what I mean. They pick it up very quickly, I think. Whereas I think younger people need that. I don't know whether it's because they've got experience of life or whatever, just listen and do or sort of stuff like that, or just basically because they're enthused and they want to play a sport that they might love, they sort of like tend to progress very quickly.
Yeah,
so that's great for being premiership winners every year in, year out.
Oh, back to back, Taff, I'll tell you, back to back.
I mean, one of the things about those older guys that have come back in is that they've generally had a bit of a sporting background in their younger years, so it might not have been with hockey, but they understand space and awareness and give and go, and they get the basic principles of sport. And, it doesn't have to be necessarily from a hockey background, and that's the wonderful thing with it. If they've got some legs about them and some sporting awareness, then they tend to do quite well. But I also note in the UK, another thing that I like that we don't have down here in Australia is the walking hockey programs that happen. And so you don't even have to have the legs about you, do you?
No, yeah, absolutely. That's quite new, I think, that's been introduced. But yeah, walking hockey is quite good as well. I mean, you know, for people who want to get fit gradually, is brilliant, to be honest with you.
I think down here in Perth, we had the world first hip replacement versus knee replacement game last year at the Perth Hockey Stadium. So, it's a sport that's open for everyone. So absolutely. Just taking us on to the hockey family, you're a founder of the hockey family, and it's a chock full website and blog and social media enterprise. Can you tell us about the genesis of that and what led you to beginning the Hockey Family?
Oh, okay. Right. Well, it kind of transpired in 2012, where it basically became a social media entity kind of thing. But the concept of the Hockey Family is, I think, has been around for way beyond that. And when I first started volunteering 10 years ago, it was a concept then as well, as in it was more of a hockey bubble where basically everyone's, you know, came together. And I've made so many really great friends and connections over the last 10 years doing hockey. Even my, well, I think the way it came about is every single year that we basically started coming back and doing international events was basically a reunion of the volunteers, and they became my family, my extended family as such. And the concept, like I said, was that we would basically, you know, do these hockey events and we get together. We've got a Facebook group and a Facebook page and everything like that. We communicate with each other. We tell each other about different hockey events that are coming up, even for England hockey and stuff. And it just basically came, just evolved as the Hockey Family. And then I think I decided in about 2012, I think, to make it a proper entity and have it as the Hockey Family, and do something about it to try and encourage people to get involved in hockey, give some information about stuff that's happening within hockey. It started off as I think I started off as a Twitter page first, then created a Facebook page, and then I'd already bought the domain name but hadn't done anything with the actual website. Because I didn't really know where I wanted to go with it, if you know what I mean. It was all of myself doing it, and I'm thinking, well, that's going to be a bit of a hard time getting all the information together, putting it on the website. But thankfully, you know, I've got some really good volunteer journalists now, doing some reporting for me on the website, and we're getting content on there, you know, a couple of times a month, really. Which is okay at the moment, you know. Hopefully that will expand over the years, and we'll see how that goes.
So, tell us a bit about the team that you've got involved working with you on the Hockey Family. And just for people that are out there, the website is thehockeyfamily.com, or very easy to find you.
The team, all hockey enthusiasts. We've got one, two, three, about five, I think, altogether. Member of the team who's actually an Argentinian who's come on board, who's reporting on things Argentinian. So any news from Argentina will hopefully come from that direction. I'm looking for people who want to report on things, maybe even Australian, if you don't mind me taking over your.
No, we're global, Taff. We're the global hockey podcast.
Yeah, much like yourself, we're our arms are open to the hockey globe.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, you know, the Hockey Family is as an entity is not restricted to any one media outlet. To be honest with you, I try to publicize and help. Get people. I don't know what the word is. It's not coming to my head right now. make people aware of certain things, like the reverse stick, and maybe a Hockey World, which is another media website and stuff.
Pablo will be joining us in the next week or so. The listeners will get to hear from Pablo in the A Hockey World. Does some great work, just like yourself.
He's a great guy, honestly. He's very good. I mean, before he started his website, we connected, and basically I gave him some, information or, advice and stuff like that, and he's doing really well.
Taff, do you ever, sorry to interrupt, but do you ever meet anybody in your role through the hockey family and they go, aren't you the bloke that drove us from the airport to the hotel at that tournament in...
Yes, sometimes, yes, absolutely. I have. in my role as like the team liaison officer for England Hockey, I've actually drove lots of, you know, dignitaries and players as well. One of the European Hockey Federation officials, which I met quite a few times, but I picked up at the airport a couple of years ago. And the year after, you know, pointing out, saying, weren't you the guy who sort of like picked me up last time? Yes, I was. It's really good because, I mean, doing these events and we get to know lots of different coaches as well. And I'm amazed that they actually remember my name and other people's names when they actually, you know, turn up at an England hockey event. You know, let's say, for instance, the Argentinian coach or the you know, Chile coach or the Spanish coach and things like that, and they come up to you and say, hi Taff, nice to see you again, and like, oh my god, you've been to all these different, you know, international tournaments over the last year or something, how have you still remembered my name? And it might be the fact that basically as a England hockey and the volunteering, you know, a bit of it, people remember you because you've done a good job, and that's the way I look at it. If we do a good job, people will remember you.
Yeah, and I think it's probably indicative of the hockey family, in inverted commas, that, you know, we all sing from the same song sheet. Most people involved in the game are pretty good boys and girls, and we get on, and there's a certain type of person that's attracted to our game, and the way that our clubs are set up, and, you know, we're a different sport to anything else that's out there, so it doesn't surprise me hearing what you're saying there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's the whole idea of, like you're saying, inverted commas, hockey family. We're all part of a global game, and there's like a, you know, what is it? We're connected very, very closely.
Why do you think that is? Is it because we're globally viewed as a minority sport and we think that we should be better recognised than we are? You know, I always think that we're punching above our weight a little bit, but then when you look at the numbers of participation and viewing and everything, you know, whatever you see, they go, oh, hockey's top three viewed sport globally. There's this many million players that are playing and blah, 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 but yet we still feel as though we're underrepresented.
I don't think, you know, with like the, you're absolutely right, we are very much underrepresented, and I think it's more, unfortunately, other games have actually, sports have actually got more coverage than us. But I think, you know, with the athletes that we have, they are very, so much down to earth, to be fair. Yeah. And, you know, they don't mind interacting with you, talking to you, you know, like a you know, just a normal human being kind of thing, rather than I'm an athlete, you're not, you're beneath me, and that sort of thing. They're very, you know, engaging, I think, personally. And that's what helps it being such more of a hockey family sort of environment. You know, like the hockey bubble, if you want to even call it that. We're all in a bubble, and we all know each other in some way, shape or form, and when we do engage with people, it's not you are this and you are that, it's you're a hockey person. That's it, simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've been really pleased with. When we interviewed Bernardo from South Pass, we interviewed Terry Walsh, Australia player and coach, and coached all over the world, and those guys and everybody else we speak to say thanks for doing what you're doing for hockey, and that blows us away a little bit. We go, oh wow, that's nice. But the more we do the podcast, the more we recognise that there is that love of people, there's a love for people trying to do something positive for our game. And, you know, I'm sure that's what you're feeling there is reflected back on your efforts, and that's certainly what we feel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people have come up to me. I don't actually go around saying, you know, hey guys, I'm the Hockey Family Guy. You know, I created. No, but it's true. It's true. Although people, when they find out, you know, turn around and say, oh, you're the Hockey Family Guy. You know, you sort of like founded that. I'm like, yeah, I am. Yeah. I don't know whether it's just me not wanting the fame and fortune. There's not much fortune.
No, where's the fortune? Jeez, point us in that direction.
The last thing I want, Taff, is some bloke to be run up to me when I'm running around on a Saturday afternoon with a stick in my hand and just sort of, hey, are you that bloke on the podcast?
Hey, listen, he might not tackle you as hard if he finds that out, you know?
He might tackle me harder if he finds out too.
We've always got to have something to talk about after the game, you see, so if they reckon, they might get a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, you know, I don't bandit about that. I run the Hockey Family, or, you know, I'm a part of that. But when people do come up to me, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for you guys, and they say, you know, thanks for doing what you're doing, or I read one of your articles or whatever on the Hockey Family or whatever, or I follow you or this, that, the other, and you're doing a great job. It's really heartwarming, because that's basically what I want. I want people to engage with us, with everyone else, you know, that's trying to promote the game, and let's get it out there, because I want hockey on the TV more, to be fair. I want it more publicised. I want it out there so that people sort of like, you know, turn around and say, wow, hockey is a great sport. And to be fair, when the Rio games were on, a lot of people watched hockey because of England being in the finals, of course, but how well they were doing. And, you know, we had millions of people watching the game in England, and I'm pretty sure around the world as well, and it improved our game profile here, and it still is improving our profile.
Yeah, well, I've seen there's been great uplift in numbers in the game, and I remember you might tell from the accent I'm originally from the UK, and I look back to Seoul and the exploits of Sean Curley and Imran Shawani and Ian Taylor, and the success of that side and the quality of that side then brought an uplift in the game at that time, and it's been a long time coming for England hockey to get that boost again. So it's absolutely crucial that you capitalise on it, and it seems as though it's working, and that's happening there at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of our players that have gone on to do various different TV shows. One obviously was the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, is obviously done in Australia anyway. And we had like Sam Quek on there. We've also had A Question of Sport, which is a program here in the UK, basically where they have two panels of teams, and people go on there and answer sports questions, and basically it's just a laugh, really, to be honest with you.
You take me back to the days of Bill Beaumont and Emlyn Hughes.
Yes, absolutely.
You two are going to start talking about the war or something now, are you? Rationing or something.
No, not quite then. Let's just stick to hockey, eh?
I think there are some really good media stars that have come out of, particularly from the girls team from Rio, and it's good to have those people in slightly higher profile positions. And because you go back to talking about the Olympics, I think globally, people that there is prick up, and they'll, wherever they are in the world, if there's a hockey team from their country involved, they're going to watch it. And we get it here in Australia exactly the same. When the Kookaburras and the Hockey Roos are playing in the Olympics, everybody watches it. Everybody's happy to talk about it. Particularly if they know you're a hockey player, they'll engage in a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been the same here as well. Like I said, over the last few years, even after the Euros, that England sort of like did well in, and also Rio as well. There are people out there that have taken up hockey because they watched the game, or they watched the game a little bit more, or asked me personally, oh, you know, we know that England are playing in such and such a place or in such and such a tournament. Is there any way of watching it? And more often than not, there is a way of watching it, whether it's BT Sports here in England or some other you know, avenue like Eurosports or, you know, even Sky Sports now.
BT Sport have obviously done a fantastic job with covering hockey in the UK. Unfortunately, it's not the same for everybody else worldwide with the people that have got the broadcast rights. But yeah, hats off to BT Sport, because I've seen some of the stuff that they've got online through the various players, and they really seem to be getting behind the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do a fantastic job when they come down to the international tournaments that are here in England. You know, they don't, I don't think they spare any expense as in, you know, setting up whatever they need to set up to make sure that the broadcast is as good as it's going to be, or as good as it can get, even to the scale of, you know, it being a football kind of, like, you know, camera angles and things like that.
Yeah.
They have a hell of a lot of cameras out there, and also they have this other camera, which is an aerial camera, which is called the Spider Cam, I think.
Yeah.
On wires and stuff, just above the pitch, and that is amazing as well.
Now, I'm sure there'll be a few fullbacks tempted to throw the odd overhead up and see if they can get somewhere near the Spider Cam.
Now, Taff, we do have to get some sort of controversy out of you while we've got you online. Now, I don't know if you're across the latest edict from the Euro Hockey League about the change to the scoring system. Now, we here at the Reverse Stick are opposed totally to the idea of changing the very basis of our game. Have you got any thoughts on it? Or are you able to give us an in with someone from the EHL through your volunteering days that can, so we can have a word in their ear about it?
Changes to the the scoring, is that the 2 points for a
points?
All right, okay. Yeah, 2 points for a is it 2 points for an open open goal and 1 point for a short corner? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
That was actually brought in the Indian Premier League, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hockey Indian League last year, yeah.
Yeah, Hockey Indian League, yeah. That's been going for about a couple of years now, and to be honest with you, I don't like it. I don't like it at all, because I think it's a little bit unfair. Let's say, for instance, you know, we've got two teams going in. One team is 3 points and the other team has only got 2 points or whatever. And suddenly the 2 point team gets an open goal and they win the game in the last few minutes of the game. And there's no way of the other team coming back. I think that's totally unfair. I think the fairer sort of like scoring is the fact that, you know, you have one goal for whatever situation there is. I don't agree with it, to be honest with you, but some people might like it.
Yeah, look, we're not massive fans of it at all. We're a bit traditionalist in our values towards the game. Okay, just another quick one on that one then. Four quarters or two halves?
Ah, right, okay. Well,
well, look, Taff, we've got you on, so we might as well explore all the hockey options.
This bit might not make the edited podcast version, but it will be available online at the website.
That's fine. Well, to be honest with you, when it first came out with the four quarters, I wasn't great. I wasn't really happy with that. Because again, you know, like you're saying, you're a traditionalist. Now I'm a bit of a traditionalist as well. I think, you know, we shouldn't change the game too much with regards to, you know, 2 points for an open goal and 1 point for a short corner or whatever, penalty corner, whatever you want to call it. And I still don't think I'm ever going to like that if it ever comes into effect internationally or, you know, globally or whatever. But with the four quarters and two halves, I think it's good for the international game. And it possibly might be good for maybe developing juniors, where you can basically, you know, have a quarter and say, you know, have it for 15 minutes and go back to the juniors and engage with them and say, right, okay, guys, this is what we need to do. We need to change this a little bit, and then have the second quarter, and then obviously have the halftime and carry on. So for the development part of it, maybe for internationals, maybe, but I don't know whether people who are playing, you know, weekend leagues in England will like it that much.
I like the attrition of the 2:35 minute halves, and I like that opportunity where teams perhaps can't reset every 15 minutes. And so in your league there at the moment, you're still 35 minutes. It's just international stuff in the UK.
That's right. Only international games at the moment. I don't think there's any plans to bring it, you know, filter it out to weekend leagues. There's a lot of people who don't like it, as in, you know, would not like it to be quarters on a weekend. From people that I've actually spoken to, they're not really a good fan of it. But I think the quarters were brought in because of TV, to be honest with you, for the international game.
Yeah.
And it works well because, you know, it gives, you know, the broadcasters some time to actually put an advert in or whatever to make some money, kind of thing. But I don't think it would probably work for, you know, lower leagues or even, you know, national hockey leagues or anything like that.
No, I think they're doing it in Germany with the Liga, the Bundesliga there. I think they're onto quarters now. I'm not sure what they're doing in Holland. In the Dutch leagues,
They're testing it out, aren't they? In Germany, I think they just introduced it to see how it goes. But it's just like anything that the FIH introduced with regards to, you know, what was that controversial thing that they introduced a few years ago?
Own goal.
Yeah, the own goal thing. You know, it only came in for a year, didn't it?
Yeah, thankfully.
But boy, it was great fun smashing the ball towards the goalkeeper and watching them decide what they should do with it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it was probably easier for the umpires to umpire that, but not so good for you know, people, you know, like you're saying, smashing it in and hoping for the best kind of thing.
That's been my whole hockey career, Ted.
You and me both.
That, Taff, just discussing this, it seems like at times our game almost has an inferiority complex about where it stands, and we're always in some ways trying to chase new sports or
new formats
and stuff, whereas our 70-minute format, the game we have, is fantastic. I mean, it still lasts less than one innings of a 2020 game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes wonder if we're not chasing ourselves too hard, and we should just take our game as what it is and promote it that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree. Like I said, you know, when the four quarters came in into effect at internationals, I really didn't like it, but it seemed to work well for them. I was always like questioning why we had to change our game to get it on TV. Mm. When other sports have not had to do that at all, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, rugby hasn't changed, football hasn't changed, cricket hasn't changed their format. They play it the way they play it. And I was like, one of the first questions was, for me, is why do we have to change it to four quarters to appease broadcasting issues or whatever? And like I said, I wasn't so happy about that. But now I see... Because it helps the game a little bit more to get it on TV and for it to be broadcast like that, I think it's only good for the game. But I'd much prefer the 35 halves, really, to be honest with you.
Taff, if people are interested in getting involved with England hockey and volunteering, where do they need to go and where can they find out more information?
Ah, right, okay. Well, they can go to the England Hockey website. There is a news link there to volunteer. They can also go on to the England Hockey Facebook page if they've got Facebook, and they've got a link there as well where they can actually go. I can possibly send you the link to the volunteering page, which I think is www.hockeymaker.co.uk, which will all, again, have a link to where you can actually go and register to volunteer, or apply to volunteer, should I say.
And is there any particular skill set that volunteers need?
Wide spectrum. It's you know, if they're good at organising, they could be part of the operational teams or the logistics team or whatever. If they're more people, you know, people orientated, like within customer services, they could be spectator services or hosting services. You know, if they like media stuff, they can do media. You know, could be in the media team or sports presentation. There's a wide spectrum. There's, like, you know, you can have people who do a day job as HR and manage people, right? That could actually come in and do that sort of thing at the event as well. So if they're comfortable in what they're doing as their day job and want to volunteer, there's roles out there.
So there's that opportunity within the application process to highlight what your skills are, and then you can possibly be channeled in a certain direction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before anyone applies to volunteer, there is a document that they should really read. It's a PDF that they can download and read before the application process, which gives them a bit more information about the process and also different functional areas. And then they can sort of, I think, well, I'd like to be involved with the, you know, athlete services, or I'd like to be involved in, you know, media teams. So they get to select first, second, third, fourth choices as well. And if they don't get the first choice, which would probably, you know, England Hockey will probably try and do anyway as much as possible, they'll, you know, they'll get their second choice or the third choice. But hopefully that those are the choices that they'd like to do. Great. But more often than not, to get the first or second choices.
Fantastic. I've just plugged that address into the laptop there, hockeymaker.co.uk, and it's got try volunteering and do you need volunteers. So there's obviously opportunities as well if you've got a big event on to use that system to get some help for your own event.
Yeah, I mean, once you're registered on there, you know, created a registration on there, yeah, you will get emails to say when the next volunteering event is for England Hockey, and to either register your interest or apply to be a part of it. Basically, this year, because it's a big event, we're going to be doing interviews. We're doing training sessions as well. I appreciate that. You know, if somebody from Australia is obviously volunteering, they can't come down to a training session, but there will be something in place where we can actually give them some information so that they're still, you know, in the loop as such before they start coming to do the volunteering at the World Cup.
That's great. Now, just very quickly before we let you go, and we could probably go on for another hour or so, but the listeners will get bored to death with us cracking on about hockey, or maybe they won't. I did notice that the Hockey World League, earlier on in the year, that the hockey family were doing interviews and lots of different media things. Is that something you did off your own bat, or was that something you were approached to do from England Hockey?
Oh no, we did it off our own back. Basically, we two of the girls went to South Africa, where we covered the whole event. A couple of the girls did a couple of other things with regards to, you know, the England event and others. But yeah, we did it off our own bat. We basically tried to get, or we did get accreditation by the FIH and England Hockey to, media accreditation, that was.
Yeah.
To sort of, you know, be a part of that event and do interviews and video logs as well. Which were actually quite good. First time we've ever done that, and that was great for Gemma and Jojo, who did that. when they went out in South Africa, you know, it was the first one, so hopefully it'll get better. and hopefully we'll be there, you know, at the World Cup as well, although I'll be, you know, volunteering, but I think my volunteer journalists will hopefully be a part of that and report on there as well.
So on the volunteer journalists, you mentioned earlier on with regard to you've got somebody in Argentina, there's potential for other people around and about around the world to contribute to the hockey family. If there's a budding journo or somebody who's got a bit of spare time but they're pretty good at writing, they'll just get in touch with you through the website?
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, or they can just contact me via the email address, which is thehockeyfamily@hotmail.com, if they want to. Or just through the website as well. That, you know, I'll get a an email via the website if they do want to, you know, be a part of the hockey family, you know, as a volunteer journalist as such. But yeah, I'm looking for anyone who's interested in journalism, who wants to, you know, basically do journalism as a career, or even, you know, who wants just to have some experience about writing and then go into a career in journalism. You know.
Yeah.
Or even hockey enthusiasts, to be honest with you. You don't have to be someone who wants to become a journalist, really.
That sounds fantastic. And look, I'm just looking at John and he's looking at me, and we're loving hearing everything that you're saying, Taff, and love your enthusiasm for the game. Hopefully you can make some money out of it, and hopefully that will give you the opportunity to keep on going with the hockey family. And you know, these things don't happen for free, and so is there any way that you can, that sponsors can possibly get on board with you to help out with some of your costs?
I've not really thought about getting sponsors, to be honest with you. But I mean, if anyone's interested, I'm quite happy to engage and listen and talk to them. But you know, it's entirely up to them. Like I said, I'm not actively you know, sought out any sponsorship at the moment.
You're doing it for the love.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, at the moment, yes. But I'd like to make some money. Wouldn't everyone?
That's the thing I always say to a lot of people is you can't eat hockey balls.
Do you have a day job, Taff?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I'm a teacher.
Oh, well done. My partner's a teacher too.
Oh, brilliant! And my father's did they do hockey?
No, well, she's good at standing on the sidelines and saying, "Oh, you played well, dear."
That's good enough. That's
we all need our support networks.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just before we go, Taff, and I wanted to know, is Taff short for something or is it a nickname?
It is a nickname.
we were wondering whether it was the Welsh accent.
everyone that's basically come across me, and even my sort of, like, let's say my extended hockey family didn't actually know my proper real name up until about 4 or 5 years ago. They actually just thought my name was Taff, but it's actually a nickname, and my real name is Mustafa.
Oh, I didn't want you to destroy the mystery of it all.
Huh? Everybody knows there's a Bruce Wayne and there's a Batman, but there's never a Twain shall meet.
Absolutely.
Taff, it's been a pleasure to have you on. It's great to talk to someone else that's passionate about hockey and loves the game. And the work you're doing probably goes, a lot of the time, goes unrewarded, but you're integral to keeping the whole sport going.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys, and so are you, obviously. You know, I'm loving the work that you're doing as well, and hopefully you'll have a successful future as well, and hopefully you'll make some money as well.
My missus hopes we make some money.
So, Taff, thanks so much for joining us today on the Reverse Stick. It's been absolutely wonderful to hear all about the volunteering system there in the UK, and hear about the hockey family, and you're spreading the good word for our great game, and so we appreciate your time today and wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you very much for having me, guys, and I'm actually loving the work that you're doing as well, so keep it up, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks, Taff. Cheers.
Cheers, Taff. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Cool. Yeah, we're good. That's all, we're all done. Taff, thanks so much for that. We've probably got